She looked back at me, paralyzed. Then she leaned her head out of the doorway, looked to the right, and then the left, and then quickly crawled to the spot I'd indicated and stopped, looking up at me, her eyes terrified. I looked calmly back at her, made her wait for my next direction for several agonizing seconds, which must have seemed like hours to her. Finally, I languidly extended my arm again and pointed from where she was to the end of the hall and back, indicating that she was to crawl along that route. She looked up at me in sheer disbelief, shaking her head vigorously, the distant exit lights making red streaks in her glasses. I nodded. She shook her head even more vigorously, her glasses sliding down to the end of her nose before she caught them, and mouthed the word, "No," panic-stricken. I straightened up from the wall, stepped around her, and she followed me, first with her eyes, then with her head, and finally with her whole body, until I stood in the doorway to her room, my arms crossed. The message was clear. If she wanted to get back in... For a few moments she continued to plead with me in the same manner, mouthing the word, "No," over and over and shaking her head. But finally she must have realized that the longer she waited, the better chance there was of someone stepping out to use the hall bathroom. So, biting her lower lip in fear, she turned, in the direction that would lead her away from the bathroom, and began to crawl as quickly as she could toward the far exit door. I watched her crawl, her buttocks rose-colored in the dim light. She was making pretty good time, considering that her panties were still hampering her movement. She reached the exit door, tagged it like a swimmer doing laps, and turned around to head back. I saw that her glasses had not only slipped down her nose again, but were hanging askew on her face. She was too concerned with getting back out of sight to take the extra second to straighten them. In another moment, she was in front of me again. She had obviously expected me to move out of the way as soon as she arrived, because she almost bumped her head on my knees. She stopped just in time and looked up at me, her mouth open, breathing heavily. Her look, through those still cockeyed glasses, said, "What are you waiting for? Let me in." But I continued to stand there, blocking her way. Her questioning look grew more panicked, as if to say, "What? What else? Tell me." Holding her gaze, I slowly unfolded my arms again, letting them hang loosely at my sides. Then I tilted my pelvis toward her, my erection obvious, and waited. She caught my meaning immediately and gasped so loudly that she reached up and covered her mouth so vigorously that her glasses went flying. She quickly retrieved them and put them back on. Her eyes behind them were once again glazed with fear, bad enough to be seen crawling up and down the hall nearly naked. But to be seen in the same condition, kneeling in front of a man and doing what she was about to do. And she was going to do it, she had no doubt. No choice. Now whimpering with fear, she quickly rose to her knees and unfastened and unzipped my pants and pulled them down to my knees, followed by my underwear. Without wasting a moment, she placed her hands on my waist and applied her mouth to the head of my cock, quickly licking it all around before taking it all the way in. It soon became obvious that she had little experience in what she was doing. That first time, the other night, I had come almost the moment I'd entered her mouth because there had been a lot more foreplay. But now her lack of technique was frustrating. I placed my hands on either side of her head and began slowly to pull my cock out of her mouth, and just as slowly, push it back in. She quickly adapted herself to my rhythm and began bobbing her head up and down. But she still needed instruction. I stopped her with my hands and pulled my cock out of her mouth again. She looked up at me in surprise. I reached down and grabbed her right hand and held the first two fingers together as I brought it to my mouth. I showed her how to use her tongue by using my own, inserting her fingers into my mouth and running my tongue down their length as I did so. I repeated the action several times, then released her hand. I looked down at her and raised my eyebrows as if to ask, "Do you understand?" She nodded anxiously and began again. This time it was much better, and I could tell she knew it too. As she grew more confident, she began to vary her rhythm, sometimes stopping with just the tip of my cock between her lips and stimulating it with her tongue, other times exploring how slowly and deeply she could take my shaft in without discomfort. Soon it became obvious that she had forgotten that she was kneeling in a public hallway with her panties halfway down her thighs, had forgotten everything except the dance of her tongue and lips. I allowed myself to enjoy it as long as I could, but it was inevitable that eventually I would feel the beginnings of an orgasm. I decided to give Miss Santiago one more surprise. I held back until the last possible second, then, just as I began to come, I pulled my cock out of her mouth. I held her head in place with my hands as my semen began to spurt. The first few drops landed in her hair and on her forehead, but the next spurt splattered directly onto the right lens of her glasses near the bridge of her nose and began running down and dripping onto her cheek. Her expression was horrified. She tried to jerk away from me and quickly raised her hands as if to put them in front of her face for protection. But then she dropped them helplessly to her sides and turned her face up to mine so that my final spurts landed on her nose, her slightly parted lips, and her chin. She looked as though she were in ecstatic prayer.